Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin. My name is Ram Goldar, and today we're Sechus Bamatzia, Daf Kuf Yud Tes. The 10th parak Bais Va'aliyah, and the final Daf of the Masechta. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara quotes two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about shoots growing out of a trunk. Number one, a braisa discusses a tree sold in someone's field, and new shoots grow out of the tree. Rabbi Meir says they all belong to the owner of the land, but Rabbi Yehuda says that the shoots growing from the geza, the trunk, which here means any part above the ground, belong to the owner of the tree, and those growing from the roots, meaning from the roots beneath the ground, belong to the landowner. Number two, in another braisa discussing orla, Rabbi Meir says that all shoots, whether they grow from the trunk or the roots, are subject to orla because they're considered to be independent growths. Rabbi Yehuda says, mina gezer pater, a shoot growing from the trunk is exempt from orla because it's considered part of the original tree, mina shrashim chai, but a shoot growing from the roots is subject to orla. In both cases, they argue if shoots growing from the trunk are considered part of the tree, and the Gemara explains that both arguments needed to be recorded because the first Malchokas is a monetary one, and the second one is about orla, which is a prohibition. Point number two, in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon taught that whatever the upper owner can reach belonged to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. In Rabbi Yana's yeshiva, they qualify this, Ubilvad Shul Yenes, provide that he does not need to strain himself to be able to reach them. Two questions were asked. Megillah Nofov e Megillah Ikaro, if the upper owner can reach its shoot, but not its roots, Megillah Ikaro be Megillah Nofov, or he can reach its roots, but not its shoot, because it's pointed downwards, is it considered within reach of the higher garden's owner? The Gemara concludes, Teku, let it stand, unresolved. And point number three, Ephraim the scribe, a Talmud Reish Lakish, said, in Reish Lakish's name, that the halacha falls Rabbi Shimon, that the upper owner keeps whatever he can reach, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. When Rabbi Shimon's ruling was told to Shvur Malka, King Shapur, a Persian king, who Rashi explains was an expert in dinim, he said, Rabbi Shimon, let us extend our grace to Rabbi Shimon. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara quotes two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about shoots growing out of a trunk. Number one, a braisa discusses a tree sold in someone's field, and new shoots grow out of the tree. Rabbi Meir says they all belong to the owner of the land, but Rabbi Yehuda says that the shoots growing from the geza, the trunk, which here means any part above the ground, belong to the owner of the tree, and those growing from the roots, meaning from the roots beneath the ground, belong to the landowner. Number two, in another braisa discussing orla, Rabbi Meir says that all shoots, whether they grow from the trunk or the roots, are subject to orla because they're considered to be independent growths. Rabbi Yehuda says, mina gezer pater, a shoot growing from the trunk is exempt from orla because it's considered part of the original tree, mina shrashim chai, but a shoot growing from the roots is subject to orla. In both cases, they argue if shoots growing from the trunk are considered part of the tree, and the Gemara explains that both arguments needed to be recorded because the first Malchokas is a monetary one, and the second one is about orla, which is a prohibition. Point number two, in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon taught that whatever the upper owner can reach belonged to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. In Rabbi Yana's yeshiva, they qualify this, Ubilvad Shul Yenes, provide that he does not need to strain himself to be able to reach them. Two questions were asked. Megillah Nofov e Megillah Ikaro, if the upper owner can reach its shoot, but not its roots, Megillah Ikaro be Megillah Nofov, or he can reach its roots, but not its shoot, because it's pointed downwards, is it considered within reach of the higher garden's owner? The Gemara concludes, Teku, let it stand, unresolved. And point number three, Ephraim the scribe, a Talmud Reish Lakish, said, in Reish Lakish's name, that the halacha falls Rabbi Shimon, that the upper owner keeps whatever he can reach, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. When Rabbi Shimon's ruling was told to Shvur Malka, King Shapur, a Persian king, who Rashi explains was an expert in dinim, he said, Rabbi Shimon, let us extend our grace to Rabbi Shimon. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Kuf Yud Tes, and our standard Siman is a kite. A kite. So here goes. When the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were putter from orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string, but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, he proclaimed, Apirium Nimtie, to that beautiful kite. Once again, in slow motion. When the Persian king saw a kite, that must be Daf Kuf Yud Tes. When the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were putter from orla, which reminds us, the Gemara quotes two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about shoots growing out of a trunk. In the second braisa discussing orla, Rabbi Meir says that all shoots, whether they grow from the trunk or their roots, are subject to orla because they're considered to be independent growths. Rabbi Yehuda says, mina geza pater, a shoot growing from the trunk is exempt from orla because it's considered part of the original tree, mina shrashim chai, but a shoot growing from the roots is subject to orla. So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing of a tree trunk, which were putter from orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string, but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, which reminds us in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon taught that whatever the upper owner can reach belonged to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. In Rabbi Yana's yeshiva, they qualified this, provided that he does not need to strain himself to be able to reach them. Two questions were asked. If the upper owner can reach its shoot, but not its roots, or he can reach its roots, but not its shoot, because it's pointed downwards, is it considered within the reach of the higher garden's owner? The Gemara concludes, Teku. So when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were putter from Orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, he proclaimed, Apirio Nimtie, to that beautiful kite, which reminds us, a friend, the scribe of Talmud Reish Lakish, said in Reish Lakish's name, that the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, that the upper owner keeps whatever he can reach, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. Rabbi Shimon's ruling was told to Shur Malka, King Shapur, a Persian king who Rashi explains was an expert in dinim. He said, Apriya Nimtie, with Rabbi Shimon, let us extend our grace to Rabbi Shimon. So once again, when the Persian king saw a kite which had smashed into the shoots growing out of a tree trunk, which were putter from Orla, and that the owner strained from a higher garden to untangle the string but could only reach the roots and not the shoots, he proclaimed, Apirion Nimtie, to that beautiful kite. Hadron Alach, Mesechus Baba Metzia. Mazel Tov, everyone, on being assigned the 22nd Mesechus in this Daf Yomi Machzor, a grand total of 118 blot. 354 points now organized in our mind for efficient review and long-term retention using Simanim. May Kodesh Baruch Hu continue to bench us with Hatzlach in our learning and Chazara, and may we continue to go Machal Chaos as we begin the next Masechta. Masechta is Baba Basra, and may we be Zocha to make a Kenyan and all of Shas together with Simanim. All right, so now it's time for a four blot back Chazara. Daf Kuf Tes Vav. So the Siman Daf Kuf Tes Vav is a Ketoris maker. So here goes. The lender who took the wealthy woman's Ketoris maker, Ketoris, that must be more in Daf Kuftes Vav. The lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker as a mashkon, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Amanda ben Shia, Nia ben Shia Ashira, a widow, whether she's poor or wealthy, Eim mashkinoisa, we do not take a mashkon from her, because the Torah says, we'll talk about Begat Amanda, you shall not take as security the garment of a widow. In a brisa, this ruling is quoted from Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Shimon argues and says one may take a mashkin from a wealthy widow. The Torah only prohibited taking a mashkin from a poor widow because he must return it daily, and you would thereby give her a bad name among her neighbors who would suspect her of improper conduct. The machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is based on whether we're dorish, time and akra, whether we expand the reasons from the pasuk. So the lender who took the wealthy woman's katoris maker as a mashkon wisely left behind a portable mill, which would have made him chayiv for two sets of malkas, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that one who takes a portable mill as a mashkon transgresses a lov, and is chayiv for two kalim, because the Torah writes him separately, Oyachmo rechayim v'rachim, ye shall not take a lower millstone or upper millstone for security. There's malchokas whether one is also chayiv for taking kol davar she'osim bo ochel nefesh, anything used for food preparation, because the pasuk says, ki nefesh hu chovel, for he is taking a life as a security. So the lender took the wealthy woman's katoris maker as a mashkon, wisely left behind a portable mill, which would have made him chayiv for two sets of malchus, after recalling how he was lashed twice the previous Pesach for eating the carbon Pesach partially raw, which reminds us, Rava says if one ate a carbon Pesach na, partially raw, he incurs two sets of malchus, one for the specific na of the pasuk, and another for the general prohibition of ki'im sli'esh, unless it's roasted over a fire. If he ate a cooked, he incurs malchus for mevushel, cooked, as well as for ki'im sli'esh. If he ate partially raw and cooked, he's chayiv for all three prohibitions. Abai says ein lokin olav shebakolos, one does not incur malchus for general prohibition. Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. So the Siman Daf Kuf Tes Zayin is haircuts, and we use a barber in the Siman. So here goes. The barber, that must be more Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, haircuts. The barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that a man once sees a shechita knife as a mashkon, and Abai told him to return it since it's used for food preparation, and then he should go to Beis Din to claim his debt, which he would have to prove. Rava said he does not need to bring proof and may claim up to the knife's value. Since it was in his possession and no edim saw him take it, he could have claimed he had bought it. Since he didn't, he must be telling the truth that this debt is owed to him, provided it's not more than the knife's value. So the barber who sees the butcher's shechita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Beis Din to prove his claim, offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, which reminds us, the 10th parak begins, Habayis v'aliyah shel shnayim shenafu. If a ground floor and an upper story belonging to two people collapsed, they both divide the wood, stones, and earth based on the relative heights of the two structures, and we assess which stones were most likely to break and distribute the stones accordingly. So the barber sees the butcher's shikita knife as a mashkon, which he kept among his scissors, and was told to return it and go to Basin to prove his claim. Offered free haircuts to his two neighbors that were dividing the rubble of their two-story house, which collapsed, as well as to the neighbor renting the upper story of the house next door, which partially collapsed and was now living downstairs with the homeowner until repairs were made, which reminds us, the next mission states that if a rented upper story partially collapsed and the homeowner does not want to repair it, the tenant of the upper story may descend and live in the lower apartment until the homeowner repairs the upper story. Rav Yossi says the tenant is responsible to provide the plaster which covers the ceiling. Rabbah explains the case as Baruba, where most of the four collapsed, but Shmuel says it applies even Barabah, where only four square tefachim of four collapsed. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, so the Siman Daf Kuf Yud Zayin is a gabbai with a lot of keys. So here goes. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door. Gabbai, keys? That must run Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that if a rented upper story collapses, the tenant may move into the landlord's lower apartment. Rabbi Abba Bar Amar asked three questions about this fight. One of them being, assuming that they share the apartment, can the tenant use the ground floor entrance, or must he use his former entrance to the upper apartment and then descend into the lower apartment? Perhaps the tenant can argue, although I originally agreed to make an ascent into my apartment, I didn't accept to make an ascent and descent to enter my apartment. So the gabbai who wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident about two people living on two stories, where the plaster of the upper story deteriorated, so that when the upper resident washed his hands, the water would flow to the lower story and damage the property there. Rechia Bar Abba said the upper resident must fix the plaster, but Rechia Bar Rabbi Yossi said the lower resident must fix it. The Gemara explains that the first holds al mazikul harkin gatsas money and nizak. It's the damager's responsibility to distance himself from the property being damaged, so he must repair the plaster to avoid damaging. The second opinion holds it's the nizak's responsibility to avoid the damage, so he fixes the plaster. So the gabbai wasn't thrilled to give his tenant who moved in when the upper story he rented collapsed one of his keys to his front door, and was already upset when the resident in the upper story of the shul next door caused water damage to his key box in the shul down below, wondered how the upper owner was doing who rebuilt and lived in the lower floor of a building that the lower owner refused to rebuild, which reminds us, the next mission states that if a two-story building owned by two people collapse and the lower owner refuses to rebuild the lower apartment, the upper owner may build the lower apartment and he may live in it until the lower owner pays him expenses. Rebuta objects, Av zed dar betok shel chavero, even this is a case of one living in his fellow's property, sarko ha'usul schar, and therefore must pay him rent since he's benefiting from it. Rather, the upper owner builds both stories and then may live in the lower story until his expenses are paid since he no longer benefits by living there. Daf Kuf Yud Ches. So the same Daf Kuf Yud Ches is Kichel. So here goes. The avid Kichel maker, Kichel, that must be on Daf Kuf Yud Ches. The avid Kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for Hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, which reminds us, Rabban said Habanta beHefker, whether watching ownerless property acquires it, is a Malchokas Tanaim. A Mishnah states, Shomei Svichei Shviz, those who guard the after Grus Shmita, to use the Omer and Shtei Alechem, are paid from the Trumas Alishka. Rav Yossi says, Harotz Misnadev, who is Shomer Chinam, whoever wants can volunteer and watch it for free. The sages respond that, if so, Ein Boin, Mishal Tzibur, the offerings will not come from the community, but the watchman. Rabbah explains that the Tanakhama holds Habata acquires Hefker, so if the watchman is not paid, he will personally own the aftergrowth. Rav Yossi holds Habata does not acquire, so the public will acquire the gross when they harvest it. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for Hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which reminds us, Abai said that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon all hold, wherever the sages gave one permission to do something, v'hizik, and thereby caused damage, patur, he's exempt from paying. Rabbi Shimon taught in a mission regarding safety measurements given to prevent one's oven from starting a fire that one who follows these requirements is patur from any damage which may occur. So the avid kichel maker watching Hefker wheat for Hektish, knowing he'll be paid to avoid acquiring the wheat by mere watching it, was exempt from damages when his oven full of kichel on the second story of a building caught fire, since he was careful to follow safety regulations, which thankfully a neighbor noticed as he was pulling out shoots growing out of the vertical slope between their gardens, which reminds us, the final Mishnah states regarding two gardens, one above the other, and vegetables are growing in the vertical surface between them, so their roots are in the upper garden soil, but the shoot systems are in the lower garden's airspace. Rav Meir says they belong to the higher garden's owner, since we follow the nourishment from the upper garden. Rav Yehuda says they belong to the lower garden's owner. Rav Shimon has a third opinion. Anything the upper owner can stretch his hand and take belongs to him, and the rest belongs to the lower owner. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we discuss if we're masada regarding a pledge to Hekdish? That's on Daf. Kufi Adal. Good. Number two, which stuff do Rabbi Shimon holds that the owner of the higher garden owns whatever he can reach? That's on Daf. Kufi Atas. Good. Number three, which stuff do the case of one taking a shechita knife as a mashkon? That's on Daf. Kuftaz Zayin. Good. Number four, which stuff do we have two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding shoots growing out of a trunk? That's on Daf. Kufya Tess. Good. Number five, which stuff do we machos whether a shulich basin can enter a borrower's house to take a mashkon? That's on Daf. Kufyud Gemel. Good. Number six, which stuff do we discuss whether one can take a mashkon from a wealthy widow and the machos is based on whether a dorish time of the crowd? That's on Daf. Kuftaz Vav. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we machos regarding who gets the vegetables growing in the vertical space between gardens? That's on Daf. Kufyat Ches. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we have a question about a tenant's right to move into the lower apartment, such as using the front entrance? That's on Daf. Kufyat Zayin. Good. Number nine, which stuff do we know that Shvur Malkus said when he heard Rabbi Shimon's ruling? He exclaimed, Apirin Yon Nimtiye, Lo Rabbi Shimon. Let us extend our grace to Rabbi Shimon. That's on Daf. Kufiyot Task. Good. Number 10. Which stuff to discuss why the lender must leave two beds in the borrower's home? That's on Daf. Kufiyot Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldhar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.